Well, this week was another big week for royal watchers. We had, of course, the christening, the baptism of the prince, Prince George. Am I right in saying he is third in line to the throne? I remember back at the time when he was born, of course, the interest in media circles around the world was huge. Waiting for the news and the announcement. Was it to be a boy? Was it a girl? And so on. And then after the birth had been announced, if you remember, it was several days before they actually announced what this little mite was going to be called. And I don't know about you, but I remember thinking to myself at that time, what's keeping them? They've had 9 months minimum to think what they were going to call him. So why aren't they making an announcement? And the other thing that struck me, of course, was that it's not like they have a lot of choice in the matter. When you are Prince William and Princess, then you've got a limited selection. And of course, most of the names are traditional royal names. Heck, they were never going to call him Wayne or Kevin or Derek or something like that. So why all the fuss? Why didn't they just come out with the name? Well, of course, in the end, they did. They called him George, and he was baptized this week. Well, I don't know if it was the Queen or someone else who said to them, "And you shall call him George," or if it was their own choice. But it seems that for Joseph and Mary, there was no choice in this matter. It's described to us by way of visions and dreams and angelic visitations. And whatever you want to make of all of that, the result of it is that the name came to them that they were to call their son when he was born. You will give birth to a son who will be called Jesus. And then there was another name. I don't think you need to think about it as his middle name or anything like that, but just another name for Jesus. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Now, folks, earlier this morning we were thinking about the meaning of our particular names. But what is really important this morning is that we get the meaning of the names that were given to Jesus. It wasn't just plucked from obscurity, or it could have been one from a list of 10. These were specific names, these were deliberate names for him, because in the names we learn who he is and why he came into the world. So these names are so important, and they're described for us in what we read from Matthew's Gospel. First of all, the name that we have, Jesus. She will give birth to a son. Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Sometimes nowadays, we reckon that the word sin is kind of old-fashioned. It belongs to a bygone age, so we're told. But, well, whether you like the word or not, it points to something that is very real and true. Putting it at its most simplest, sin is what comes between people and God. Sin is the gulf, it's the divide between people and God. And the next truth is that we are all subject to it. Jesus apart, there's never been a single person, whoever was, who was not sinful in one way or another. Sin is that inherent selfishness that we all have, again, to one degree or another. Sin is when we are hurtful to others or thoughtless. And you see the outworking of sin across the whole world. Sometimes dramatically, when people war one with another in places such as Syria and Iraq at the moment, where day by day hundreds of people are being killed. That's sin. You see, it was never meant to be that way. God has made us to live peace with one another, but when we turn our backs on God, then this is what happens. Just look at your newspapers and turn on your televisions and you'll see what our world is like. And the word to describe it is the word I've given, sin. Now the consequences of sin are equally as simple to describe. Here we are as human beings, here is God, and we are apart from Him. And we will forever be apart from Him unless something is done about it. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that you can do something about it. You can't. We can't. I can't. We're all helpless ourselves to do anything about it. And so our fate, the consequence of our lives, is that we are and will be apart from God. I'm not sure if you've thought about it that before. Maybe some people here this morning who never quite had that thought in mind. That here is God and here is you, and you are apart from Him. But the good news of the Christian faith is that there is an answer and a solution to the problem, and it is Jesus. You will name Him Jesus because He will save the people from their sins. He will save the people from the consequences of their sins, from being apart from God. So let me just put it together for you. Jesus is the one who makes it possible. I'll go further than that. Jesus is the only one who makes it possible for you to be together with God. Together as opposed to apart from God. The name Jesus means He will save us. Save us from the consequences of our sins. Therefore, the name Jesus is the name that brings us together with God. I mentioned our Alpha course earlier in the notices this morning. Folks, if you're someone here who's never really given full consideration to this stuff that I'm talking about, then come on the Alpha course. Do yourself a kind of once in your lifetime favour and come on the Alpha course. Just give yourself a chance to really think out all that this means. Wednesday, as I said, at 7:15 is Alpha. So the name Jesus, but also the second name that was given to Him in advance of His birth, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. There's the explanation. There's the meaning of the name. It means God with us. Again, I sense from many folks that their idea of God, if they have one at all, is that He is very distant. That He is far off. So distant that there's no way we can ever have any dealings with Him. Some folks have this idea that, well, maybe they'll concede that God created the world, but then He backed off. And He remains way, way over here, far from us. And when we believe that, then God is never personal to us, never real to us, only distant. Again, the Christian faith responds to this idea of God being distant. It tells us that when Jesus came into the world, this was nothing less than God Himself coming into the world to be with us. I want to offer you that this morning as the great truth that God is with us. And I want you to see it as being much more than maybe just an intellectual idea. Two of our members here at the church, Linda and Alison, they both went through major surgery during this last week. And I know that having spoken to them beforehand, and in Linda's case, having spoken to her since her surgery, I know that for her it made all the difference in the world. Going into such a risky business as her operation was, it made all the difference to know this: God is with us. I'm not alone. God is with us in this. And then, of course, Linda, being Linda, was able to personalize and say, God is with me. And to see somebody facing up to what she was with such confidence and such assurance was inspiring, to say the least. God is with me. What shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? God is with me. So much for folks like Alison and Linda. But what about you in your life? There are times for all of us when we have to face up to challenges, real difficulties in life. Times when we're worried sick about one thing or another and how it's going to turn out. The Christian faith says to you, God is with you. In everything. In other words, no matter what it is that you are facing, no matter what it is that the challenges are in your life, you face them knowing and reminding yourselves over and over, God is with me. What a difference it makes to know that He's not distant, but is right here with me. God is with me. Now notice, that is not an exemption from the tough times in life. Sometimes I think people think this of Christianity. Oh, if I follow the Christian way, if I become a Christian, then surely nothing will happen to me. It will all be plain sailing. No, it doesn't say that. It's much more real and much more realistic than that. All of us are subject to all of life. Ups and downs. Twists and turns. But no matter what we go through, we can say with confidence and assurance, God is with us. Some of you, I know very personally what your situations are at the moment. I can see you sitting in the church, some of you specifically. And I really hope you know that and can grab hold of that for yourself where you are in life at the moment. Others of you, I maybe know less personally. Others of you, I'm not aware of what's going on in your life at the moment. But whoever you are and whatever that is, my prayer, my heartfelt prayer is that you would know that. That you would come to know that, that God is with us. Maybe there's someone here this morning who's saying, I'd love to believe it. I'd love to know that was true. I'd love to have that for myself, but I'm just not sure. Again, I say to you, take the time, or make the time, to come on our Alpha course. Don't leave yourself wondering, is it maybe true, or I can't be sure about it. Give yourself the opportunity to work it out, that you too might be able to say with real conviction, God is with me in my life. God is with me. And so we have the name that was given to the one who was born, to Mary and to Joseph, Jesus. Because he saves us from being apart from God, he brings us together with God. And Emmanuel, the promise that God is with us. I guess some of you buy a Sunday newspaper, and maybe you'll go home after church and over lunch with a bacon roll, you'll flick through the pages of your newspapers. I'll tell you up front, you'll not find news like you've just heard this morning. This is good news. God is with us. Amen. And thanks be to God for this word, this promise that he makes to us. Thanks be to God.